Hello, I'm Laura McAllister. I'm a professor at Cardiff University and currently a vice president of UEFA as well. I'm also a fellow at the Institute of Welsh Affairs, and in my opinion, it's never been more important to talk openly about Wales's future and how we can address the opportunities and challenges ahead. To do this, we need places like the IWA, but they also need our support to continue their work, especially to encourage discussions for Wales's future to help come up with the solutions that we really need. So if you can do it and believe in the work of the IWA, I'd really urge you to become a member or make a donation. Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Welsh Agenda's companion podcast series. For those of you who don't yet know us, the IWA is Wales' leading independent think tank, with a long track record of shaping debates and influencing change in Wales through policy research and advocacy, our online and print publications, which provide platforms for robust comment and debate, and our agenda-setting events. We are a membership organisation with nearly 1,000 members across the country and far further afield. We are funded by our members, the events we run ourselves, and trusts and foundations. The Welsh Agenda is the IWA's current affairs magazine. Supported by the Books Council of Wales, it is a platform for debates, publishing stories and commentary on issues of importance for Wales. With this podcast series, we hope to continue our work representing stories, current events and debates from around Wales. I'm Victoria Kioi and I'm an editor in residence at the Welsh Agenda magazine. Today, I'll be exploring themes such as identity and creative representation in Welsh media. I will be in conversation with Gavin Congolo, a Welsh creative who grew up in Wales but learned Welsh later on in life and now works in between Wales and London. Gavin is a 25-year-old actor and poet from Cardiff and originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo. He is known for his work on BBC's Doctors, Sky One's Bulletproof, Against All Odds, The Suspect, Ndako, Home, and the latest Welsh drama series, Barriai, a 6-part bilingual prison drama now available to watch on BBC iPlayer. As a Kenyan-born Welsh native, I have navigated these two different identities and at times found it difficult boxing myself in one category. Growing up in Wales, like many ethnic minorities, I did not see or feel myself represented in Welsh media compared to other forms of mainstream media. The main representation of traditional Wales I saw growing up was Gavin and Stacey, which we briefly studied in high school. The lack of ethnic minority representation in Welsh media is a growing concern, as it also seems to drive talents to find work outside of Wales. As a photojournalist based in Wales, I have built most of my client base in London after completing my studies in university due to a larger pool of opportunities and a wider, more welcoming space of representation for ethnic minorities like myself. As much as I would like to do most of my work here in Wales, there is a lack of diversity, especially in the media landscape. I therefore sat down with Gavin Congolo, who tells us stories about his Congolese heritage, inspiring his creative network, and opens up about working in London after living in Wales throughout his childhood. Aside from acting, Gavin's poetry has been featured on the BBC and has gathered over 60,000 views online. He continues to make an impact in Welsh media, making him an inspiration for upcoming artists and creators based in Wales. Gavin is committed to offering mentorship and advocating opportunities for Black creatives in the industry by continuously shedding light on the importance of representation. Please welcome Gavin Congolo. Could you please introduce yourself and say a few words about yourself?
I'm Gavin Congolo, from Cardiff. I am a actor, filmmaker, poet, wannabe street dancer, wannabe DJ. And at the moment, I am currently based in London, but I think I'll be making the move back home soon. And yeah, I'm working on a lot of stuff at the moment, but I think we'll dive into that later on. But yeah.
Well, lovely to meet you, Gavin. And I want to just get straight into it and ask you, you've had an impressive journey so far in the world of acting and poetry. Let's start by delving into your roots. You're Welsh raised and Congolese born, which is such a unique blend of cultures. So when was your first introduction to acting and the creative arts? And did you always know you wanted to become an actor or poet since you were a young child?
I didn't always want to be an actor or a poet. It wasn't until I was in year eight, and there was this drama club that my school was running at, and I went to Saint Illtyd's in Cardiff, and what they had to do like this Shakespeare show. And but also they get to miss a day of school and you get to perform. And for me that was like, oh, as a year eight I was like, wow, like I want to miss a day of school. I would love to miss a day of school, but I missed the opportunity to do that in year eight. So when I went into year nine I was like, oh, I'm gonna do it. So I did it, but I actually really fell in love with like the process of like one, not only just Shakespeare but acting. And then my teacher at the time, Miss Hawkins, I don't know where she is to this day, but I have to thank her, because if it wasn't for her, she wouldn't have led me down this pathway of everything that like I'm on. Because she then told me I need to take drama for GCSE. That was just like, you know, the introduction of like getting into it. Loved it. Then went to college, did performing arts, and did like musicals. But then I kind of was like, I just want to do straight acting. I don't want to do acting, singing and dancing. I just want to do straight like acting. So then I think I was, yeah, 17 at the time, where I signed to like my first acting agency and just like got experience on like TV sets. I only had like small extra roles at the time, and then from there that's when I was just like, okay, I kind of I'm understanding the game, the world of this industry. So then went to uni in Surrey, University for the Creative Arts. And I whilst I was at uni I was still like, as much as I'm learning, I still want to go out and be like auditioning for stuff and still having like the real world experience whilst I'm learning. Even though it's kind of like looked down upon that, you know, when you're training, you should just be training. You shouldn't be looking at the stuff outside of the uni because you're not ready. But I was like, nah, I'm just gonna go do it. But I think for me, it served me right, because I started to book so many, oh well, I can't say so many jobs, but I started to book jobs whilst I was at uni. So yeah, that was like my pathway into acting. So I always say it was by accident, which I'm very, very grateful for.
So when you studied in Surrey, did you still have work in Wales? When you were booking work, did you come back to Cardiff or was it mainly in England?
I actually came back to Wales quite a lot. There was some audio dramas that I did. So I did some for like Big Finish. So like did Torchwood, came back to do Torchwood. Did some like theatre R&Ds as well, which is like really, really cool. For like Sherman, National Theatre Wales. So I'd come back quite a lot, but I'd probably say when I probably felt that I was recognized as a Welsh actor was probably just before. No, it was after I graduated from my master's at Royal Welsh, which I
Okay.
found quite. Right. I was like, oh, okay. So now people know that I'm Welsh, and that now, which is, I was like, this is, I found it quite interesting, just because prior to then I was, you know, what I'm saying I'm Welsh. It's almost like, not that people didn't believe me, but it was like until I had to go to a certain school, a certain drama school,
Okay.
and then. It's like, oh, okay, now you. It's like, yeah, I just found it very interesting. And then, but from then, that's when like majority of my work started to like fall through in as in Wales.
Okay.
That's 2022, so only like nearly 2 years ago.
Okay. That's really interesting, and we'll definitely dive more into your Welsh identity in a few. So your short film Ndako, which means home, explores both your Congolese heritage and Welsh identity. So for our listeners who haven't watched this, what inspired you to create Ndako, and how does your heritage influence your independent creative work?
My heritage is everything to me. Like without it, I'm nothing. Literally, I'm nothing. It's everything that like I've been raised upon. The man I am now is because of my heritage. Like how my parents raised me is, my parents are like really rooted in their Congolese roots. So there's a kind of a joke that my both of them make is that, you know, outside. Is the world, but in here,
Okay.
in home, it's Congo. So like we
Okay.
respect that, but imagine them saying that in French. So it just comes with a little bit more like sass and attitude.
Right.
So it just inspires everything. And you know, I think especially when I was a teenager, I felt a bit, sometimes I used to feel a bit embarrassed about it. But I think in when I was at uni, I just started to reclaim my roots, reclaim my heritage, and really own it and remind myself of that it's a superpower and that.
Why did you feel embarrassed about your heritage when you were younger?
I felt embarrassed because, like, it was. I was made to feel embarrassed that I was different. I was made to feel that, like, you know. Like be especially being African growing up in a predominantly like white area, it
Yeah.
makes you feel like you can't like being African is like a bad thing,
Was that
especially
from your peers?
peers, even society, I'd say the outer world, the amount of jokes that would be made, it made you feel less than, even to the point where, I even with my name, like I wouldn't, I people would get my name wrong so many times that I'd be like,
Right.
okay, like how can I eradicate this like from happening? So I would tell people call me Gabs instead of Gabin. It wasn't
Okay.
until I was like 18, 19, I was like, no. My name is Gavin, so like we're gonna stick with Gavin. I had to reclaim a lot, and I think especially, yeah, from like my teenagehood onwards, it was a whole lot of that. But Dako is about my parents' journey from Congo to Wales and how they built a home away from home. And what inspired me to make that is just that I was just so like interested in my parents' journey, and it was a conversation that we never really had of like how they got here and the trials and tribulations that they went through. And there's this thing of that I'm actually learning about, but I could never really articulate, which is
Right.
child of an immigrant guilt. Because I always felt like I needed to give something to my parents, like I need to show them something, like especially through my work, so they can really see it, really feel it, that, that all this work is rooted in like truth and it has a lot of substance. I was like, this was a present to my parents as well. So I made sure I poured everything into there. So Red Brick, like immersed themselves into my family when we filmed this. Like they would come over, we'd eat together, to understand just like me, where my roots and where I come from. And
Right.
I'm very proud of that film, very very proud of that film. And I'm not done with the Dhaka world. Let's say there's still more to come from it. So let's see what happens.
Is there going to be a part two coming soon?
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah.
Part two is just is in. I'll say what part two is in my mind. Part two is going to Congo. I've never been to Congo, so part two would be going to Congo and really experiencing my roots. It's just that right now, it's not really safe to go, which
Right.
is kind of breaks my heart, because I really want to go. But I think, God willing, with time, we'll get there. But
Yeah. For me, Dhaka was really inspiring because I was born in Kenya and I was raised in Wales. So it was interesting to, get that perspective from someone else who's from Africa and kind of seeing that gift that you gave to your parents. And so I wanted to also ask you, your journey of coming from someone who didn't embrace their culture and heritage to making a whole film and using your heritage to inspire your poetry and your independent creative work. How did you get there? And how did you get to having the confidence to put out, something like that that really explains not only you, but the backstory of your parents as well.
I think it was a lot of belief, and I think I was inspired a lot by what I was seeing from like other like filmmakers. And I think for me, actually, the main driving force was the fact that I was like, I want to make my own work. I want to own my own work. I want to make my own work, especially in Wales as well. I was like, okay, no one has my voice. I'm
Right.
the only one with this voice in this field as it stands right now. And if I can be a voice, I'm a do it. So I was very, very, very grateful. I had like Liara, Lauren from like Jukebox, and Lizzie from Jukebox really, really helped me and like figure that out, and like how, and they pushed me. They really did push me to like make this and like figure it out, and also like Letty Clark from like Artist Mundi, absolute legend, and Nicole Reddy as well. They just like, I had a whole bunch of women really support me and push me and push, like, because they saw what I could do, and I'm so grateful for those women in my life. And like they saw it in me, and they were like, okay, you have a voice, you have a story to tell, go
Right.
tell it. And they really pushed me, and it's like they helped me walk. And then when you could say like their job was done, I just started to run with it, and then things just started to flow. But yeah, I'd say like the most important thing was just like I wanted to make my own work, because I'm the only one with this story and this voice. And but it's also quite universal, because like you said you could relate. You're not even from Congo, but we're from the same continent, so you kind of get it.
Right.
But
Yeah.
but I was like, I have to do this as well. But that was just like a self-love journey, I'd say.
And that must feel really good to have put that out and owning, both your Welsh and your Congolese side, growing up in Wales. That must have felt like a really big achievement for you.
Massive, massive. I think especially now I look back and I think, well, what a journey you've been on, and how, like, just at how far I've come, and also the people that and I've like seen the journey, but also they also respect it in terms of how I've got there. I've had a lot of people apologize as well over the years, I must say, and be like, wow, I'm so sorry for saying so and so or treating you so and so, because I didn't realize. But it happens. It's growth, you know, we're learning, so.
Because I definitely relate as well to the having a different name, because with my name as well in school, I went to St. Joseph's in Newport, and my name was not easily pronounced, and people would kind of on purposely mispronounce it as well, in a way to make fun of you. So it was difficult.
How
It
could
was
they?
difficult growing up, but it happened throughout high school, and I feel like in university as well is when I started to embrace as well, like, I am Welsh, but I'm also Kenyan, and kind of, owning that to everyone that I met and everywhere that I went, and not being, not shying away from it. I want to shift gears and talk about your most recent work in Welsh speaking media, particularly your role in the new BBC series Bariau. Can you tell us a bit more about your character Hussein? How did you approach playing him in this series, considering stereotypes surrounding black men in the prison system? And I'll read a quote from your interview with Clout Magazine, and it says, "The role required diligent research into Islam and the treatment of Muslims in prison, including meetings with Dr. Mohammed Qasim, an expert who authored a book on young Muslims in prison and took him to speak with some Muslim inmates, providing valuable insights that shaped the actor's perspective for the role."
I had a meeting with like Rondo Media about Hussein. We talked a lot about Hussein, and obviously, like, I'm a Welsh learner, so they were, kind of seeing like where my Welsh is at. They wanted to know where my Welsh is at, the level of it, and also just how much I knew about Islam as well at that time. It's quite early state, very early stages. Maybe like I think 2 months before we actually started filming. Like Hussein for me was a no-brainer in terms of, like, I was like, as soon as like we had the meeting, I was like, yeah, I know this is mine. I was like, I know this is mine, and it has to be mine. And it did turn out that way. And it was just, I think it was, for me, it was definitely something that, like, I needed at the time, because it felt like I can finally flesh out like a real, like, a character, and give him so much story, so much history. So that's why, like, I went to such, in some respects, such great lengths to go meet with Dr. Mohammed Kazim, and also, like, go into a prison and meet some inmates and talk to them about their experience. Because, funny enough, the experience that Dr. Mohammed Kazim had was similar to the backstory that I had built for Hussein, which was having to, like, he just stole something from prison, from a shop, and got given a very, very harsh sentence, and that's down to race and also your religion, and, like, you're sharing a cell with, like, people who are in there for life. That doesn't make any sense. It's like, so Dr. Mohammed Kazim had a very, like, similar story, and he said there's some people in the prison in Bradford that had, like, similar stories as well. So he's like, yo, I think you should come and meet them. you go into that, you go into a prison, and like you're, I've got very calm, open, receiving body language, but when you're in there, it changes. You feel like you have to have your guard up, or you have to like
Right.
you've got to protect yourself because something could happen. But it's very, it's scary. But the people at night, it's the people in the prison are nice. That you talk to them, and they tell you their stories, and very eye-opening for me. And especially,
Right.
it's definitely my first time being in a jail, in a prison. So I was just like, wow, this is a bit insane, but very fruitful experience for me to take into the series. And yeah, and I think as well, the language was something that, like, I saw it as a challenge that I think so far I'm doing a very good job with. Speak that amount of Welsh, but also still learning, like, I'm learning the words as I'm doing. But yeah, and it was just, yeah, good experience. Very, very, very good experience. And I'm so happy that we've got a series two now as well on the way, which is like really exciting. So
Amazing. So you started learning Welsh later in life, which I'm assuming really helped with your role playing Hussein in Bariau. When did you start learning Welsh? Was this in preparation for the bilingual series, or was it a personal decision to learn the language for your day-to-day life in Wales?
it was for my day-to-day life.
Okay.
It was for my day-to-day life. But also, I think as time went on, it started to become clear to me that I was like, oh, well, I can also use this for my work. It kind of goes hand in hand. And big up Hanch S4C, Hanch S4C, because they actually put me in the position to learn Welsh. They like commissioned like a small online series called like Gabin Dysgu Cymraeg, so which is like Gabin Learning Welsh, which
Yes, I did see that was documenting your journey
yeah
learning Welsh.
like big them up. Like that was so, like, I was gonna say so kind of them, but like it was kind of them to, for them to do that and like really help me begin the journey of like learning of like Dysgu Cymraeg. And also Aran from Say Something in Welsh, his app of like learning Welsh is amazing. Like it's like top tier. I still listen to it now. Obviously Duolingo is there as well. Duolingo is good.
Yeah.
But if you really want to like step up your Welsh, Say Something in Welsh is like the best one to use. Yeah, no, it was for my day-to-day life. But as time went on, I started to see that, the patterns of like, oh, like now that I'm a Welsh learner, there's more opportunities opening up. I was like, imagine if I'm a fluent Welsh speaker, what opportunities could come? And
Okay.
then with that, I started to realize that, yo, okay, it feels bigger than me. People, I think for me, representation is, I say it all the time, it is so important for me.
Right.
If you can see a black Welsh speaker, there could be a black Welsh speaker in a school right now not feeling confident about, within their skin and within the languages. Like they might feel like, oh, that's not, this isn't me. But if they can see someone older on a screen or on a poster or whatever that is owning that, it might make them feel good and give them the confidence to carry on and push forward. Or someone who wants to learn Welsh, it's just like it's just so, it's so important. It's these things that we do, we never know who has an impact on. Or like I've had people once stop me in the street and be like, yo, love that you're learning Welsh, that it's really incredible that my daughter, we and my daughter watch your journey. But that's what it's about, and I think
Right.
that's what it's about. It's bigger than me. I might be doing it, but it's way bigger than me.
And I was also gonna ask, You went to high school in Wales and you also did primary school in Wales as well. And I know that we had to learn Welsh in school. It was compulsory. So when you decided to learn Welsh later in life, you were 22. Was it because you had completely lost the Welsh language from, it being compulsory in school? Because I know I've lost a lot of the Welsh that I learned in school. Or how did you come to making that decision of, okay, I'm 22 years old, I'm gonna start learning Welsh now?
It was at first I just got frustrated that when I wasn't in Wales and I told people I was from Wales, because my Welsh slash Cardiff accent isn't particularly strong, and when I told them I'm from Wales, people would be like, "Oh well, you're not Welsh then, are you?" That
Okay.
really frustrate me.
I am.
I am like, what do you want me to tell you? I am. So I was like, what can I do? I literally was like, what can I actually do? Then I was like, well, if I learn a language, you can't tell me nothing. You can't say anything to
Right.
me that I'm not Welsh. But also within that discovery, I was also like, we have a language here. So like, if we can like, speak it, and we have to like use it. So I was really kind of using that as like my driving force to like want to learn, because I was like, if I ever had someone here, like come someone bring someone to Wales, I'd be like, oh yeah, well, we speak Welsh here as well,
Okay.
and bang the language out, shadda cymraeg, with a good pobl, and like just I just thought, okay, this is cool as well. Like, let's re this is something I was like, okay, this is another thing that I'm trying to reclaim and bring into my life. And I think that, like, especially from like the Gabin Adasgi Cymraeg series, I saw a shift within, I think, my peers and like my circle about like how they felt about the Welsh language.
Okay.
Their attitudes changed. They're like, okay, you know what, if bro's gonna do it, all right, Welsh is cool. Which I found very interesting is like, sometimes it just takes someone to just do it, to show you that
Yeah.
this has something, this has legs that and it can run. So but yeah, the origin was my frustration of people not saying that I'm not Welsh enough.
Was there, did you find it easy to find the resources to learn Welsh at a later age?
I think for me, I'll say yes. I think just because like of how lovely like S4C were with like giving me the resources and the tools, with like say something in Welsh, and yeah, they put me into places where like I had to speak Welsh. I also worked at a Welsh speaking restaurant in Canton at the time as well, called Anch, and it was predominantly in Welsh. Like everyone in there like spoke Welsh, so that was it was it was difficult. It was hard because sometimes I didn't understand, but I pushed through, and I started to pick things up, and yeah, that's something that really helped me as well. It was that we're working in an environment that was, predominantly Welsh.
So the next question is, working between London and Cardiff must present its own set of challenges for you. How do you navigate the back and forth, and how does it impact your work as an actor and poet?
I actually really do enjoy the back and forth. On a work level, I think it's important for me, because I think to have my work appreciated in both countries, in Wales and in England, it's really important for me. And in some respects, it's like with what I do, I'm not the full maker, but it bridges the gap in some respects between Wales and London's, because we always, I think all of us together always trying to, we're all trying to bridge that gap. I feel like anyone
Yeah.
in London is trying to bridge the gap from wherever they're from, and I'm just doing my small percentage of bridging the gap, whether it's, if it's 10 bricks or 15 bricks.
I'd like for you to elaborate on how you bridge the gap yourself.
I think with bridging the gap is just it's through the people that I meet, and I always tell them about Wales. Wales is always a con is it's a big conversation that is always had, because it's such a shock to tell. It's a shock to tell people, yes, I'm from Wales. They're like, what? Eyes wide open. It's like,
Unicorn.
look, black person from Wales? No. Black people exist in Wales. What? I never knew that. I never knew that. It's like, yes, we exist. So it's like, I invite them into this world, and it's like people, they're hooked, they're interested, and it takes them away from the thing that all they've known their whole life. I'm like, well, you come and see this. It starts with those conversations, and then I bring people from London to Wales, and they're like, oh my God, I actually love it here. I actually would love to do some work here. They get inspired and about doing work, and I'm like, okay, if you want to do work here, you got to meet this person here and this person from this place, because then now we're connected. Now we're connecting the communities and together, and that's what it's all about, is connection. So that's like, on a personal level, how I bridge the gap. I guess when I do work as well, that also kind of like transfers, but that's a whole nother beast that I'm trying to figure out.
That is nice that you've been able to bring people from London to also work in Wales.
It's important, because I won't hold any slander about Wales. I can do it. I'm from there. You know what I mean? I could do it. But I allow you from over there to come and say this about this place. I can't let that run, especially because a lot of people have preconceived ideas of what Wales is, but
Definitely.
haven't been here to experience it. So
I think that's a really nice way of honoring Wales and where you're from in Cardiff as well.
always, and like,
So, looking forward, what do you envision for the future of Welsh television in terms of representation? I ask you this question because I also got this quote from your interview with Clout Magazine, and you said representation is very important. The doors that I knock on and break down aren't just for me. It's way bigger than me. It's for the ones that come after me so that they can flourish way easier. Personally, I'd like to be part of a narrative where a black person can just be anything they want to be. So, what changes would you like to see in the Welsh media landscape?
in terms of representation, I think there's only one TV series where we've ever seen a black Welsh family. Only one. And that's The Pact, which came out a couple years ago, I think in 2022, with my big sister, mentor, Reiki Iola. And the pact was, it was great, it was amazing, and it's the beginning of what could be, and we need more of that. We need more of that. But there's something that I've spoken to the producers about for series two of Barrier, that I was like, I think it's important if we can get this in, because don't want tokenistic work at all, at all. I don't want to be a part of any tokenistic work, because as well, as that is, I also have artistic integrity, and I always stand on that. And but there's something in there that is that I suggested that would really be good for representation and the Welsh media landscape on a whole. But let's see what happens. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, we try again. Hopefully it does though. Fingers crossed. But yeah, and also just like on a on a like Welsh media landscape is just allow people to, you know, the we there's this thing that I've noticed is that what a Welsh voice sounds like. And it's just about the Welsh voice isn't just what the valley sound like. There's people in Cardiff, there's Bute Town accents, there's Plot accents, there's Newport accents, there's, you know, there's Cymbran accents, there's so many different accents that are Welsh that it's we must own what those are as well. So allow those accents to shine through as well. And it doesn't have to be your stereotypical valley accent that makes it Welsh. Well, Wales is more than one accent. So I think that's also something that for me I'd like to see changing, because I know if there's a whole bunch of kids or the youngers in Bute Town that you can make a whole TV series about and it would bang if you let them use their own voice and let them have the fun that they want, and it could be amazing. Or the same with Splott, St. Mellons, like there's so many. And I just think allow that to happen and see how the things would flourish. I could even say this on a scale of like it's similar to like, even though it's not related to media in any way, but it's similar on like a footballing level with like the Welsh football team. If they had invested a lot into like the communities in like Grangetown and Bute Town, the amount of football players that could be playing for Wales right now and would be absolutely immense. So instead of like looking to towards like the valleys, yes, they're Welsh, but they're just as Welsh. Like, what's the difference other than their skin colour or the community they come from? So it's just, I think invest in the communities that are around, and because there's rich history there. So let black people be, because like we're not just like, just allow us to be a police officer, allow us to be a lawyer, allow us to be the person who runs like the Welsh Parliament, allow us to be those things. Let us just be like, we can't always be like playing that to our stereotypes. Like, yes, they're there, cool, but we're more than that as well. So
Yeah. That leads me to my next question. In your interview with Claire, you were described as a change maker, remaining very particular about representation and inclusion in the creative industry. So I wanted to ask you, what are you doing today to contribute to increasing representation for other Black creatives in Wales?
you know, I'm mentoring at the moment. There's a couple of kids that I'm mentoring and just like helping them on their pathways, and what, you know, with what they want to do and how they're going to get there. And that's something for me that I'm consistently gonna do, because I never really had someone older who kind of looked like me up until this point now anyway, but someone to could put their arm around me and be like, yo, this is what I want to do. What's the pathway? Like, how do I get there? What do I do? And just come to me twice. So for me, it's about doing that, and it's and but also, you know, helping them, but also showing them by the things that I do that, like, you know, this is what I'm doing. But I feel like every generation might go through this, but yeah, what I'm doing now is cool, but what the youngers are gonna do is gonna be even cooler. They're gonna take it to a whole next level that I couldn't take it to, which is what I love. Like, I absolutely love it. And like I said, all this is bigger than me. Like, I'm clearly just doing my part, and whatever my part is, if that leads on to like mad great things, cool. That's what was written for me. But I know that I will knock doors down just so that people after me can just go and it's easier. And for me, there's purpose in all of this, and that's something that like I really like hold on to and want to like leave, I guess, in this world, is that, I help people. I gave them my heart. And and I'd say in terms of like, representation, that's what it is. It's mentoring and just also putting my people on when people opportunities come up. I'm always quite honest. Sometimes opportunities will come to me and say, I don't think I'm the right person for this. You should go to this person instead, because this is suited for them and their style. And then they get that opportunity, and then they go on to, produce great work, and then it's very successful. And that's even that, it's in a way it's like selfless. A lot of people would, if they see opportunity, they just take it and take it and take it and take it. But knowing when it's right for you and knowing someone else is another thing. And I think that's like, very important, very important.
That's really amazing that you've taken it upon yourself to mentor other young creatives that are coming up in the industry. Is that through a mentoring program, or how did they get the opportunity to be mentored by you? Did you put yourself out there, or is it like a scheme that you're working on?
Not necessarily a no, it's not a scheme. It's so I did a workshop with Lab 7, and I did that with my friend Iomide, who I went to drama school with and uni with actually as well. But there were kids in that class that like I was like, wow, like I asked them, how serious do you want this? Like, is this the career path you want to take? And they said yes. And I said, okay, cool. And so that was on the first session. Second session, saw how great they worked again, and they were like, okay, they're really working. So from then, I took it upon myself to be like, okay, like if you need help, you need anything, you can come to me and we can talk about things, and we can build something. Like put the right just putting the right things in motion in order for you to like get to where you want to go on your journey. And that's been like such a like revelation. Even now, just there's one of them is applying for drama school and like learning their lines, going through their monologue, and it's like it's exciting. 'Cause I even said to him like, bro, if you don't get in this year, I promise you just have to keep going. This is all part of the journey. If it was easy, yeah, it's not gonna be as rewarding if it's that easy. Kind of motto that I have at the moment is that they don't put championship rings on smooth hands, which is like you gotta work hard. Like you gotta work hard to get that championship ring, like there's hands are gonna be battered, they're gonna be bruised, like so metaphorically. So like yeah, so you gotta work hard, and when they put that ring on, it's gonna be a struggle, but when it's on, it's on. So that's something that like I'm passing on to the kids that I'm mentoring. And
Are they all studying in Wales at the moment?
yeah, all studying in Wales. So
What advice do you have for Welsh creatives coming up in the industry?
I would say use your voice, because your voice is so unique. It's your story. No one else can tell your story. And like, push, keep pushing. Don't stop. Keep believing in yourself and use the people around you. And yeah, like really believe in the stories that you're making and just understand that it's important. We need you. Like we really need you. And yeah, that's what I'd say.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, thank you, Gavin, for sharing your insights and life experiences with us today. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for asking me to come and do this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and we'll be looking forward to seeing more of your work in Welsh media, more of the representation as well being shown, and more people that you will put on to our screens. So yeah, we're really, really looking forward to it. And thank you everybody for listening today.